change to H2, which says a contribution.
Excuse me, Catherine, his amendment or what's before us?
I'm asking about what's before us. Yeah.
What is before us is a substantive change in that it broadens the definition of PTO to include vacation pay accounts for construction trade union groups. And it is specific to the construction trade union group. Those are the folks that we heard from during the comment period. I don't know if other groups have vacation pay accounts. They very well may, but I wasn't made aware of that during the comment period. So, yes, to the extent that it broadens the definition of PTO, it is a substantive change.
Commissioner Novick.
Commissioner Fritz, I don't know if this will satisfy Commissioner Saltzman's concern, but is it true that other cities that have passed paid sick leave ordinances have generally exempted hiring hall employment entirely, and this is kind of a more narrowly crafted way of addressing the issue?
Correct. Thank you.
All right. So I think there's some folks that want to testify on this item since we've taken it off consent. So I'd like to take public testimony and then continue our council discussion. We may need more of your advice and counsel then. So do you have some folks signed up?
No one has signed up with me. Since this was on consent, I didn't have a sheet out for it.
Okay. So is there anyone that would like to testify on this?
Well, Mayor, what are they testifying on? There's no amendment to the ordinance before the council.
The ordinance before the council.
Pardon me?
The ordinance before the council, I assume, is what they get to testify. Yeah. Just like any other ordinance, right? This is the first reading of an ordinance. It just happened to be on consent. Now it's not.
But is Commissioner Saltzman offering an amendment so there's something for someone to testify on that's different than the matter that was on consent?
He hasn't offered one yet.
But, I offered it by May.
But I guess my suggestion would be I would personally like to hear testimony before we take action on the amendment. So if there are folks that would like to testify about this, it would be a good time to come up and do so. Good morning.
Morning.
It's still morning. So who'd ever like to start? Jeff, go ahead.
Jeff Anderson with United Food and Commercial Workers, Local 555. I'm Secretary Treasurer. We have about 4,000, almost 5,000 members in the city of Portland. We favor what we've seen as the adoption of the construction crafted, or the language for the construction craft exemption. We view this not so much as where a legal opinion may say it is a substantive change, but it's actually, from our view in labor, it's an expansion of the definition of what a PTO bank is and taken into that industry and adopting it. And so where large employers may comply because they have PTO banks, this is nothing more but a light expansion of that group. I don't believe that it's, I mean, we've worked over the last year extensively on this, and we favor that this amendment works on a problem that we were trying to solve for the last 9-10 months. And so UFCW is very supportive of the amendments that I had seen.
Okay. Hi, my name is Andrea Peluso with Family Forward Oregon, and we are in favor of the amendments that are before you today, too. In particular, related to this issue with the building trades, I would be cautious to exclude the language that focuses this on the building trades because I do think the vacation pay accounts are very unique to their industry. And also, the nuance around the vacation pay account is that it's prepaid time. They assure us that folks have access to time when they need it, but it's not explicit within that agreement that the time is protected. And I would be very cautious about removing the language that references them specifically out of concern that employers may prepay for time that employees don't have access to in other employment settings. So I wouldn't want grocery store employees to have some access to some pay but not actually have access to time, which is why this is really a clarifying expansion to the definition of what counts as PTO, that, again, the trades identified specifically as being needed based on how they work within their structure of having multiple employers. So I'd be happy to talk more about that, but that's my thought on it.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Kate Newhall. I represent some of the building construction trade unions like UA 290, the sheet metal 16 workers. And to my left and right, you have Dennis Copeland and Jody Parker, who can also speak to this issue. I guess the point that I would make is I think that to my understanding, I think this is very consistent with what the intent of the ordinance and the policy around PTO is to allow employers who are doing sort of equal or better in providing their employees access to paid time off. It's allowing this somewhat unique method of doing that. And if I could take just a quick second to explain why it's unique and why it works in the building construction trades, they have a situation where they work for multiple employers over the course of a year. So they might be working for one employer for a week, for 2 weeks, for a month, for 6 months. And the way that they've devised doing paid time off through their collective bargaining agreements is to have employers do an hourly contribution to what's called a vacation pay account. And so then each employer is essentially paying as they go, since they might transition from one employer to the next employer. And I think this is very much in keeping with the intent of where you have employers who are already doing equal to or better than the law to allow that to count under the paid time off policy. And I think one of the concerns around why this change is necessary and why it's somewhat unique to the building construction trades, I think they are a business model that sort of has, and their employers have been trying to do the right thing. And like I said, through collective bargaining, they've figured out how to offer that paid time off. I don't think that all unions operate equally, and I don't think that many unions have the same multiple employers at the building construction trades. So I think, just to sort of sum up, I think the reason that this is such an important piece of the ordinance to us is that we want to make sure that our union employers aren't held at sort of a competitive disadvantage when, in fact, they've been doing the right thing all along and providing generous vacation pay accounts and paid time off to their employees.
Kate, can I ask you a question? Because you used to be at the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industries,
yes.
And that's where many of us knew you. So in your prior official capacity, can you think of an analogy to the situation in Union Hiring Hall where there's a contract and multiple employers that is similar to the issue that was raised here?
Thank you. I do know that the stagehands operate in a similar way, and they have also reviewed, I'm not sure the ordinance, but the language that the building trade submitted in their comment proposed very similar language to what you have in the ordinance, and that was something that we shared with the stagehands. And to my knowledge, they're the only ones, although I'm looking to Dennis and Jody to see if we know of anybody else that operates in a hiring hall capacity.
But they're not going to get the same
benefit
the construction trade unions
have? They have a paid time off policy.
So they would be, in effect, covered by H-1?
Yeah.
So if they're subject to a paid time off bank, mm-hmm. if they're participants in a paid time off bank, then H-1 would cover that situation.
And that is my understanding, although I don't represent the stagehands. I just,
right.
in working on this, and we did try very much in proposing a solution to make sure that we are proposing a solution that all represented employees, that it worked for them.
Can I offer a clarifying remark, too, which is that I think part of the concern that some of the folks that Kate represents were talking about was employees who are moving from employer to employer frequently enough that there is a 90-day waiting period established under this law. They wouldn't have access to time unless there was this other accommodation made that is the way in which they've been dealing with this historically. So we want to make sure that those workers have access to the pay, even if they haven't been working for the employer for long enough to qualify for the time.
Dennis, Jody, slide that down a little bit there. Thank you.
For the record, my name is Dennis Copeland. I'm Director of Political and Legislative Affairs for UA 290. We have over 4,300 members. One of the other important issues to remember is that we need portability with our programs. Again, we have employees that are moving from many different contractors. We have some of our members that may work for 10 or more contractors. The other thing is the vesting period that is necessary, the 240 hours. They may work for 3 weeks in Portland and then be the rest of the time out of the Portland area. We want to establish a program, which we worked hard with through collective bargaining many years ago, to establish portability with our vacation or paid time off. They can use it for whatever purpose that they want to, but we wanted it to stay with that individual because the accountability, if they only work 20 hours for this contractor in the city of Portland, then go out for 9 months and then come back and work for another contractor to try and get the contracting contractors to talk with one another about what was collected in that first section of segment of work that they did in the city for 20 hours. It was almost impossible for us to do that. So for the portability of the program, to keep it into the person's own hands to use as they see fit, we see the benefit in that. We appreciate the effort that you're putting forward to put forth a good program for paid sick time for the people of the city of Portland. We wish, and we are working diligently to try and make that statewide. That's going to be one of our primary jobs when we work down at the state legislature. But we want you to understand, we appreciate everything that you're doing, but we have to have some understanding that a vacation and a paid time off that work in the building trade is significantly different than what would be working for a food worker who's working in a restaurant or a hospital worker or somebody else that's working in the city of Portland. And there has to be that recognition that through a hiring hall, we have multiple employers. Those people need that to be able to have a portable program and be able to vest those hours, and then those hours stay in their pocket, not stay in the contractor's hands at the end of the year if they didn't qualify. Thank you.
Well, I thank you for being here, all of you. I know Judy's going to testify too, but you reminded me that you're here supporting this bill when, in fact, the legislature is having its first work group today on this very issue. So it's unfortunate that, well, I know you'll continue to be part of that process too, but thank you for taking the time to be here today.
Well, good afternoon, good morning, something like that, Mayor, Commissioners. Jody Getzlow-Parker, Columbia Pacific Building Trades. I would ask you not to carve out the building trades amendment or the three words, if you will. I feel like they're important. We've done a lot of work. This is awkward. We've done a lot of work to get to this point, and I just want to thank you, Kate, and to everybody else behind me. I unfortunately, because I do represent probably 26 maybe building trades affiliates and all the different nuances, that's why I asked Dennis to be here. I had some other guys lined up. But just roughly, I'll tell you about my first year in construction. I had 12 different jobs. Thus, at the end of the year, I had 12 different W-2s. What I did have was a vacation policy, a pot of money, if you will, at the end of the year that, you know, from working at all of those different employers came directly to me rather than, you know, the various jobs that I worked holding those pots. They came directly to me. And I think that that's why this is a valuable ask. So please consider just letting it move forward. I appreciate your concern. I can only speak for and very briefly for the building trades, but just please leave that language in. Thanks for listening.
Well, I guess I want to ask a question, just following up on Commissioner Saltzman's suggestion. Frankly, I don't think hearing this council discussion that there's any danger of us weakening this provision. But what would be the harm done by the removal of construction trade, the words construction trade, you know, in that it potentially could encompass at least a situation that I haven't thought of, maybe the stagehands, that where the worker is in an analogous situation, working for multiple employers, accruing time under a collective bargaining agreement. What's the harm in Commissioner Saltzman's proposal?
I might dive in there.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Because we've been working on this very intensively since we had the public forum in August to look at all the nuances of all of the language that we're proposing to change. So this wasn't raised as an issue at that forum or any time since. And I would be very uncomfortable on the fly deleting the specific reference, which we've worked so hard on. If you remember back from January 31st through March 7th, we all in this building tried to craft language that didn't do harm to one group while adding benefits to others. I believe that the language we've got to gets to that point, and I'm not willing to accept as a friendly amendment deleting those three words.
Mayor, may I also address that comment?
Sure.
I think it's a very fair comment. I'm reminded that a number of months ago, Commissioner Novick and I had the unpleasant task of sitting down with our friends in the building trades and explaining that we were not going to support an exemption for the building trades. And that's because council had been clear that we're going to apply this to everyone, that we wanted everyone to have the protection. But what we did learn was there was a unique circumstance, unique to a particular industry, unique to a particular contract. And what I believe Commissioner Fritz has tried to do is very skillfully, without changing the substance of this ordinance, accommodate a unique circumstance. It has always been my understanding that once we promulgate the rules, as other circumstances are brought to our attention and fully vetted, so we understand in a finely tuned machine what the consequence of any change is, the council can come back and revisit anything. And I would, if there is a groundswell to address something that's in the area of unanticipated consequence, or where we can do it better, I'd be the first and to be receptive to that. I think the principle at this point, though, is that we ought to be very cautious about fine-tuning this because it's a carefully calibrated package. And if an employer or a trade group comes to us and says, I've got a unique problem, well, Kate used to work at the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industries. My guess is that that happened from time to time in rulemaking, and you adapted. But I would caution us from doing it now, even if someone were to think it's well-intentioned, because I think there are other considerations, including signals we may be sending to other employers who may interpret it as a way of evading responsibilities. I'm not saying they would, but I would be very cautious about making those changes without a full body of information. And I Dan has every right to raise the concern. I think this has been a useful vetting of the issue, but I can't support a change like that unless I know what's the problem we're trying to solve, who is supporting that change, and what's the implication across these rules. And right now I can't answer that question, so I can't support the amendment.
So I guess we just heard through the testimony there's another group, the stagehands. I think they're called IOTSI. Is that right? Stage theater.
I think that's, yeah.
So we just heard through your testimony that there is another group out there that is totally analogous to construction trade services, but they will not have this same benefit. So
they
I guess
have paid time off.
It's, no, they so have another. No, we didn't hear that, Dan. We heard that they're covered by another provision of the rules, and therefore this is not a problem for them. And I think we have to be very clear on the record here, because we're going to get challenges to this down the road, and I think we have to be clear about our intent.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, if I may follow up on Commissioner Fish's comment, I mean, I sympathize with Commissioner Saltzman's instinct, which is usually mine too, that we're generally better off with broader rules and even broader exemptions to the rules than narrowly tailored ones. But we spent a lot of time looking at this issue, you know, however many months ago it was, and my feeling at the time was we had really good answers to everybody except the construction trades on this issue. And it seemed to me this is one of those rare circumstances where you really do have a unique problem that requires a narrowly tailored solution. And I, based on that, I share Commissioner Fritz's and Commissioner Fish's concerns about expanding the exemption in the way that's been suggested.
Okay. Good discussion here. Any further comments on your part, please, Judge?
Further comment. I apologize. This is what you were handed was the our comments to rules on September 6th. And then following September 11th, I sent that to the commissioners, I believe the mayor as well. I just just wanted to put that back into your hands. And I appreciate
you
helping us.
Good. Thank you all. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else wants to testify on this? This was the again, I shouldn't turn to you, Sue. It wasn't your problem. Thank you. Okay. Then, unless I hear a proposal for amendments, further amendments, this comes back for second reading.
It does. I want to take the opportunity to thank the folks who testified today. Your partnership on this has been outstanding, and I know that we will continue to work on it. And in particular, Catherine Reif and Thomas Bizeau, who have been putting inordinate amounts of time in on this project. You're heroes for the people of Portland in providing protected sick time. And we will continue to work on it. As Commissioner Fish noted, I will be bringing a fairly significant request for additional funding in the budget process to do outreach and for additional staffing on this project. And it will go into effect January 1st of 2014. Everybody who works in the city of Portland will have protected sick time. Thank you to my colleagues for supporting this important initiative.
Other comments? I just want to say I want to thank you, Commissioner Fritz, and your staff and city attorney's office for continuing to refine this. You know, it's very important that we do get it right, but that we also make these tunings that are necessary to make it work. It's not Yogi Berra, but it sounds like it. Albert Einstein once said, in theory, there's
too much time in the East.
In theory, there's no difference between theory and practice. In practice, there is. We're about to put this thing into practice, and it's really important that we get it right and that we also send clear signals about how resolute we are about having this apply to all workers in the city. So thank you for your good work, and this will return for second reading next week. And with that, I believe we are recessed until 2 p.m. this afternoon. Thank you.
There's so many of you now, but great, thanks.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.